G'day listeners, welcome to Barcarati, the sailing podcast. My name's Jordan Spencer and it's that time of the week where I get to hang out with some really cool sailors, but of course, got to share the mic with two of the world's greatest idiots. First off, Mr. Brett Perry.
Greetings, exalted one.
BP.
G'day all, how is everyone?
Just tickety-boo, mate, thanks for asking.
Now, I've had a chat to the Almighty and as far as I'm concerned, this episode is going to be potentially disastrous for you, Jay.
Oh, you're going to throw it out there. Yeah, I know where you're going.
Well, As we said, I've been relatively neutral in this argument that's been going on for the best part of 4 years.
Mm.
We've got two Land Rover lovers here, and I think you might want to be careful what's going to happen.
Well, we'll see. Let's bring in the first Land Rover lover. Hang on.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Mr. Nick Boss.
Gents, yeah, G'day. Slight warning for the listeners, because we did pre-record this one. There is a bit of Land Rover chat, but I do know there's quite a few out there who just love a bit of Land Rover action. So, absolutely.
Cool.
Well, at least the banter, for that matter. But what I've got to tell you, boys, before we launch, before we kick in, I've just witnessed possibly one of the best sporting events I've ever come across in the LIV Golf Tour held at Grange Golf Club.
Adelaide.
Oh, mate, unreal. If you want to turn what you would class a bit of a snobby old rich white man sport, getting the cues here, into something that is just unbelievable, involves families, wives, girlfriends, everyone from any age.
Right.
Mate, it's absolutely this.
Wow.
It is.
That's good.
That's phenomenal. Cool. Phenomenal. Yeah. So regardless of all the bloody human rights and all that sort of stuff, we'll put that aside. But let's face it, we all like a bit of stuff that comes from all different parts of the world. But sensational. And are there lessons to be learned in our business? Probably Sail GP are doing it as close as you could imagine. Short course racing, a lot of interaction with the athletes and all those sorts of things. So yeah, maybe we're not far off the mark from a sailing perspective.
I have heard that seeing a professional golf swing in action is actually as close as you can get to absolute perfection. Is that the truth?
Well, I didn't see one golf club being swung.
Fun bar.
No, of course I did. No, it is sensational. And for the golfers out there, and Jordan, we've played in the
and
odd
Jordan.
little no, the odd kind of corporate challenge.
Yeah.
But and we're a couple of hacks getting around. I'm a bit of a hack on a weekly basis. Yep. But to the drives are impressive, but what is super impressive is the way they approach the greens. Like the short game, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I've been working really hard on that in the last couple of months, actually.
I can imagine. I'd be afraid if I was standing there, about to go my second shot, just towing it and copping someone straight behind the eyeballs, behind the back of the green.
Yeah. I don't think looking at my golf, my little buggy thing that carries the bag, it's all rusted. I don't think I've touched that thing in about 6 years.
Yeah, well, it matches the colour of your hair. That's good.
have you got one, have you?
I've got a set of clubs. I've used them probably 3 times in 15 years. Actually, one of my close mates, 50th coming up, and he sent me an invite, said, 50th, we're going to Melbourne, we're playing golf, and we're going to watch a couple of AFL games. And I said,
mate, your days are ruined.
I tell you what, Jordan, I'll swap you. I'll go on your mate's 50th.
Hey, Vicey.
I'll have the best time ever.
Vicey, we'll both go and we'll say Jordan didn't want to come.
I'll let you know how it went.
100% he doesn't want to go. That's the last thing I could think. Oh,
do we get to choose what games we're going to?
You guys go. You're welcome to it. It's all yours.
And you're paying?
Yeah, no.
No, to get you out of this. That's what I'm saying.
That sounds sensational.
I want to bring in our guest because you
all expenses paid trip to Melbourne, Bicey. We're on golf and football.
You two idiots. Two idiots. Right. Speaking of idiots, this whole episode is a stitch
up. It's about idiots. Yeah.
This is a stitch up because our guest, Shaw, he's America's Cup sailor. Shaw, he's one of the top pros in the world. Shaw, he's a former world champion in the Etchells class. You know, Shaw, he's probably one of the most in-demand blokes going around.
But shall I also just rattle off every single class he sailed in prior to it?
And also who he's beaten in his younger days.
Sydney 38, MC 38, FAR 40, TP 52, Etchell, J70, GC 32, M 32, AC 50, Maxi 72s, J class, to name a few.
Laser.
Laser.
Of course. Oh, there's my alarm. Got to go have a banana.
Well, anyway, he only beat a good guy.
We mentioned that. Anyway,
I know.
So anyway, but he is cursed, like a lot of the top pro sailors in the world, with this love for Land Rover Defenders. And I just wonder if he's...
And extreme good looks. When you look at him on some of his photos, he just loves it.
And I just wonder if he's lucky enough to have a mate with a Mazda to save him. So I guess that's how we find it. So we'll have to talk out. And welcome to Barker 80, Mr. Ben Lamb. Lammy, mate, welcome to Barker 80.
Hi, guys. Hi, thanks for having me.
Long time listener, first time interviewer, Ing.
We have had
a couple of snippets. I think we did one in Hamilton Island one year. We caught you on the run, so that was. But here we are, full Lammy special.
Yeah, no, I love the show, and it's good to be a part of it, so thanks for getting me on, boys.
Yeah. So, Lammy, you've just done the Etchell Worlds, top of the podium? Not quite.
No. We got pretty beat up, to be honest. It was a character-building event. We ended up 15th, pretty strong fleet.
Yeah, but in that fleet, I was looking at it. Strong. Yeah, very, super effort. Especially for the first time team together?
Yeah. So all a new team, new boat, and a bit of a rush build-up. But we started getting some good events leading into it, and we just didn't really – the worlds didn't pan out the way we wanted it to. But, a few lessons there, hopefully. You know, I've got to sit back and sort of think about it. I've only just basically left, so it's always good to be part of it. And,
you know, I'll tell you
how to away with this stuff.
I'll tell you how to win, mate.
I hear comments from Supercoach.
Yeah, you need to become a midget. All the Etchells are small people now. It's bizarre.
Four up.
I did notice that. They're all four up.
Yep. We'll come back to that, but you're going to have to lose some weight.
Yeah, no, the four up's a thing. It just gives you, a full floating tactician, really, if you want it. And you've got extra set of eyes. It's just, all those four up things, they do a great job. So anyway, that's never going to be me. I'm too big.
too good looking is what I say to people. Mate, but that being said, you're not stuck in Etchells. You're like rust, mate. You get into everything. You're just sailing non-stop, aren't you?
Except for a Land Rover because they've got aluminium body, Jordan Spencer.
Yeah, I guess so. We're going to talk Land Rovers, so this is probably a good time to you're probably going to be very upset with me right now, Bicey, because I literally just sold my car.
That's it. Show's over. We're calling it.
Yeah. I know. I thought it was pretty funny when I saw the email. I'm like, I'll let him know as soon as we're talking about
the intro.
Surprise.
So for the listener, the title of this was Barker 80 Talk Land Rovers.
Yeah. No. I love that car, but I just got offered a
ridiculous price.
Couldn't say no to.
Yeah.
So I'm certainly not out of the Land Rover, but it was just one of those ones where I was just like, you know what, I'll sell it and then I'll try and find something else. So, Bicey, I need your advice on what the next little toy will be, I think.
Yeah, good. I like talking toys.
You might have something for me.
Can I ask?
Welcome to Bar Karate, the sailing podcast.
Can I ask, how does a Defender handover work? Do you, like, when you buy one and sell one, do you just say, oh, it's stuck on this part of the road over there, and that's, like, you just trade titles and that's it?
Oh, mate, you don't even need to talk. It's like when you drive past the secret hand wave, the secret nod of the head. It's just all happens subconsciously.
You have to keep it secret, though, don't you?
It's pretty good, the respect you get when you see another guy in a similar car and they're all like, yeah, pretty happy with each other. But
the beauty of yours, Lam, is you hear it coming from a mile away.
Oh, yeah, it's a low-flying crop duster.
Anyway, hey, listen, back to sailing. So, Lemmy, we'll talk about Etchells in a second. We've done a lot of sailing together, a lot of time on the water against each other as well. And, you know, you've had a massive career and it's huge. It's going really well right now. But let's go back to where it all started. Let's have a little chat.
War Games Far 40.
War Games Far 40. No, Calibre Sydney 38. Calibre Sydney 38.
Of course. Yeah.
No, but before that, before that, it was Australian Institute of Sport with Etchells, and that sort of was the beginning, right?
Yeah, it was all the laser stuff, like a lot of guys in Australia my size. But yeah, that's a pretty good foundation, sailing a laser, because it's so tough, you know, mentally and physically, and it puts you probably in good stead for continuing to get beat up in Etchells. You just got to get used to it. As a kid.
We should mention those who don't know Lammy's history. When he says lasers, won the Australian Laser Champs at 18, knocking into second one young Tom Slingsby. I guess you were training partners because you're lake boys, I'm guessing. But so not half talented.
No, I miss a laser. It's good times. It was just pure. It's just so simple. You're just dealing with yourself. You know, there's so many less variables. But I miss those days. But you know, it's a good. It's such a good springboard into, you know, all the other classes. Now you still look back at the laser and it still comes back to the same thing. It's just like constant angle and, you know, just feeling the load in the boat. So, yeah, I miss it.
Do you think, you just said feeling the constant load and the angle of the boat, the hardest part about moving into crude boats is relaying that, especially as a professional sailor where you are working generally with an owner. I know we went through it together when we sailed on the 38s and other various boats. Yep. It's a very difficult thing to try and explain to owners who probably haven't had that feel or that sort of, you know, technical side of it explained to them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so I think it's trying to avoid the whole up one, down one.
Yep.
And trying to just, when the boat feels really good, it's just positive reinforcement. It's like that helm load that you can feel right now, exactly how the boat feels, that's how we need to keep sailing it. So, and all these guys are, you know, they're the smartest people on the boat if they're the guys steering, because, you know, talented people. Mm. And so I just think by simplifying it, by just going, you know, feel that load, that's what we want to do, just keep replicating that. And then, you know, I think that's the way that it kind of seems to work for me, and I think that's a simple way of doing it. So, yeah.
So you've done a lot of owner-driver stuff. Well, majority of your professional career is owner-driver stuff once you jumped out the laser, right?
Yep. Yeah, pretty much. I did a few years on the World Match Racing Tour, so that was nice sailing.
Yeah.
With, you know, that's pretty cool when you just got a group of guys that are just flat out sailing, you know, and literally just worrying about your role. And I guess it had a bit of that too when I sailed with SoftBank. Certainly not worrying about the helmsman there. I'm just fully focusing on myself. But yeah, I'd say, you know, 95% of all the sailing I've done, it's owner driver, and that's kind of where professional sailing essentially is at now, apart from a few little small places here and there, like the Sail GP and the cut sort of stuff. But yeah, so it's just owner driver is where it's at, really.
Mate, you would have come across some beauties in your time. Give us best and worst. Oh, no.
don't cut his contract, mate.
No. I can't call on that. But I mean, I sell for some fantastic people and some pretty cool characters. All the guys I sell for now are very interesting and fun to be around. But they're just like mates. It's great.
2016 was a big year for you. How did John John Bertrand, that is, so you won the Worlds in cows.
Yeah.
How was he with you telling him, just feel that rudder helm? That
up, one, down, one.
Up, there, up, one, down, one. You're too high, John. Come on, John.
No. Never said anything like that. I was just doing my best to
win the world.
Worry about myself. I was just along for the ride, mate. It's a pleasure getting to start with John.
What an
great being around John.
Yeah, winning the world in that fleet is awesome, eh?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to keep trying. I'll keep trying. Do it again. So, yeah, get the taste for it.
Do you actually, like, you know, you live in this pro life, right? And you've been sailing nonstop since a young lad. Do you ever get tired of it, or you really are genuinely enjoying it?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's interesting. There's certainly been times when I've been burnt out because I certainly sail a lot, and the hardest part is the jet lag, just constantly being jet lagged and struggling with sleep. So that's probably the hard part. But
that's why we started finding the balance, podcast.
You know what I mean? It's finding. Yeah, it's fine. I've literally just done a month straight of sailing in Miami across the M32s and the Etchells, and I cannot wait to get home now. Yeah. So I'm ready to put the feet up for a little bit for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, do your dogs recognise you when you get home, mate?
Oh, look, you know what I mean? Yeah, I'm a little bit worried that the dog's going to not let me in the front door.
Who's this freelancer coming in? Yeah, all he does is just sleep all the time.
I think River's okay. I think River's okay with that.
Yeah, no, he's going fine. I do miss him.
All righty, cool. So you were there with the M32s as well. How are you finding that? Because that's obviously a different discipline.
Let's talk about those things. I want to hear about them. We haven't done anything on them. I want to get into them.
Yeah, I think so.
No, the M32s are fantastic because, I mean, the first time I saw them, I thought they were a bit silly. They just didn't make sense to me, not having a GU. But they kind of just work because they're a pretty simple boat. And most good one design classes are relatively simple boats that you look at from the outside and you go, oh, it's not fast enough, it's not this, it's not that. But it provides really great racing and you get really good at the simple things. And the M32 is absolutely taking... Oh, sorry, I'm just in the lounge and they're telling me to be a little bit quieter. sorry about that.
Was it like a library or something?
Yeah.
In the library at Dallas Airport.
Yeah, exactly.
You better comply or they shoot you in the States.
Oh, yeah. No, it's dumb. Anyway, the M32, I can't speak high enough about it. It's really taking off. And I think the GC32 seems like it's going downhill a little bit. But the M32 is fantastic now. So, yeah, I'm loving it. Very enjoyable.
And is that that's an owner driver situation as well? Is it with those boats in that new? Or because it's the tour in the States that's so strong because it's obviously it's not here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's all owner driver, and it's just they're tricky boats for sale. But I guess with the GC32 foiling tearing around at 30 knots can be a little bit difficult at times for some people. Whereas this is you can. An owner can come in and you can get them up to speed, a lot easier anyway. And it's just providing fantastic racing. The level of that fleet is incredible. Like, I'm really, really impressed with it. So, but yeah, we've been getting better. We had a good event the last one. So pretty happy with the direction of the team.
So you were third on the Gold Digger.
The M32 kind of took a while for it to find its place. It kind of feels as though it's found its place now, right, with the circuit in the US. I mean, it kind of had dribs and drabs all over the joint, and it became the match racing boat for the World Tour.
Yep.
But now, from what I see and hear, how many boats are you getting on the start line?
It's around 10, but I think the Worlds will be substantially more, but the level of the 10 boats, it's full pro. Everyone's got coaches or... at least a coach, and it's everyone's doing a lot of training. It's the guys across the fleet are the very best. It's pretty cool to be a part of it. And there's also a fleet in Europe, so we've got a boat there as well. Yep. So boat in the States, boat in Europe, and we're just kind of taking on it. It's really, it's a good, opposite from the Etchells. You know what I mean? It's good. Just go out and go fast and worry about boat handling. It's nice.
Yeah, right.
Mm, cool.
So what's the circuit? Like, for those who haven't caught on to it, so how does the circuit work?
Well, there's four events in Miami over the US winter. And then over the US summer, there's about 5 to 6 events in Newport, and that's where the Worlds will be.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, yeah, so everyone's kind of down in Miami in the winter, and then in the summer everyone goes to Newport. And then there's also a circuit in Lake Garda this year as well. Oh, that's going to be pretty cool.
Pretty shit-ass places you're going.
So the Europeans will be there, so I'm looking forward. I've never been to Garda, never been to Lake Garda. I know everyone rabbits on about how good it is, so I can't wait. Yeah.
Well, everyone's rabbiting on correctly, mate. She's a glamour spot. Where are you out of, Tivoli, or do you know?
Don't ask me these questions. So
Lake Garda, mate. Lake Garda. Just come on.
Yeah.
I'm going to be where I'm at.
Yeah, I'll be there. Hopefully the boat's there. Yeah.
That's the lammy way.
Yeah, I haven't got my head around that yet.
So when you're racing these things, because I am really interested in the M32, because, you know, obviously fast boat, catamaran, are you sort of, it's more of a boat speed thing, or are you racing on small circuits, you know, like sort of they do with Sail GP, or is it, you know, you're doing tactical tacks, or what's it look like?
Yeah, well, it's essentially, very similar course to the Sail GP. So you're starting on a reach. Then it's a left turn, go downwind, and it's like a downwind, an upwind, a downwind, back upwind, finish on the reach. So the starts are really tricky. The starts are very, very tough. You know, you've got all the software. So, you know, you're trying to be as close to the line, and you're generally doing 20 knots or so, 25 knots if there's breeze. So the starts are very tricky. It's a completely different way of starting, you know, on reaches, you know, with 10 boats. But
at full noise.
And I guess but the decisions there's a lot less tactical decisions, but the decisions are big decisions.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? You're really trying to just minimize your maneuvers. And when you make a decision, you're kind of committed to that decision for quite a while. You know, you can't just two-tack out of there.
Yep.
They're running code zeros, right?
So you've got a code zero downwind, and then below about 9 knots of breeze, you also take that upwind. There's a lot of moding, like the trimming and the moding and the rig tune, all that stuff is pretty interesting, and still getting our heads around it. But it's they're very cool boats to sail, and then the boat handle is fantastic. So.
Any decent crashes, Lammy?
There's always stuff going on. There's always, people going overboard, boats flipping, all that sort of stuff. There's a lot of cowboys in the fleet, including us, and everyone's having a proper crack, and, you know, there's plenty of rubbings racing. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Love it. If you get, when you go to the Worlds, mate, so you say you've got 10 boats on your starts in Miami, is it the same reaching starts at the Worlds?
Yeah, so I'd say the Worlds would be, there should be 15 to 20 boats, I dare say, certainly high in the teens. It's pretty hectic at the reach mark. Hectic, like everyone coming in overlapped, and, you know, some guys trying to jibe, or everyone's, it's pretty good fun. I like it. Yeah, it's certainly more fun in the actual, in that department.
Can you imagine you know how in Oz sometimes you get the random fisherman sets up on that first mark, you know, like, and they haven't realised. Can you imagine? That first
mark. Like on Sydney Harbour. Where they
just quietly last week at Sail Newcastle, Sailfest, was that random fisherman pretty much about half a mile. If you started at the pin, you're piercing the old Haynes Hunter. 18 footer.
Nice.
So you knew if it was lifting or knocking, if you're above or below that boat. And if you're below it, you were copping some, I tell you. What are you, fucking blokes? Piss off out of here.
I've been fishing here for 30 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's so funny, hey, when you go past a guy and, you know, and then you're like, you want to say something like, oh, there's another 50 votes coming.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but, you think you know we're bad.
Just, like, not going to listen to what you say. Yeah, exactly. That's a classic, isn't it?
Hey, all right, so go on. Sorry, Jake.
I was just going to say, the obvious question we haven't asked you, mate, how did you get into sailing?
Family. So my dad built a yacht in the backyard. So when I was at primary school, so we would then just go away every weekend, school holidays, sailing, you know, Lake Macquarie, up and down the New South Wales coast. So always on a boat. So always doing that sort of stuff.
Congratulations to your dad, mate, because how many of those boats built in the backyard are still being
stay in the backyard?
30 years
still
later?
In the backyard.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've got no idea how he knew how to do it, but he ended up building a beautiful boat, you know, essentially by himself. And it was just, he got retrenched from the mines, the coal mines.
Right.
So he had to do something. So he just built a boat in the backyard. It was pretty cool.
Nice.
And, yeah, it was a hell of a boat. It was cool. Adam's 10.8. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Glamour.
There you go.
Yeah.
Just slide her down the road. She's about 2 foot wide.
Yeah. Well, we had to get a crane and crane it over the house, 2-story house. Ended up being on the news. Yeah, not much happened in Lake Macquarie. It was on the Channel 9 news. Yeah.
And the Lambie's boat's launched.
Oh, yeah. I got to leave school during the middle of the day for it. Pretty good.
Good on you, Dad.
On your dad.
Yeah.
Because, so, you know, like you grew up on the lake, I think, for memory. And so, you know, your mates, you've got a ton of mates that, you know, that even Will Ryan, you'd be mates with Will, you're good mates with Tommy. You know, like that whole lake scene, like that must have been insane just growing up as a kid.
There's a lot of good sailors on that lake. It's pretty incredible, you know. There's also, you know, Nathan Outridge, Ian Jensen, there's a lot of guys. I don't want to keep rattling them off because I'm going to forget half of them. But it's pretty incredible the talent pool that sort of, you know, come from that area. It's funny to think about. There's a few spots around the world, but Lake Macquarie is certainly one of those. You know, there's Perth as well. There's a whole bunch of guys coming out of that area as well. It's kind of like a bit of a melting pot for talent.
We thought it was the water or something in the food or.
Mm.
Accessibility,
I reckon it is. You know, just that ability to go home, go get on your boat and go for a yacht.
Go home, get your life jacket. You're in the piss in about 10 minutes. Yeah, so,
bit like us with the bikes, I suppose.
I think that's what it is because, you know, if you live in Sydney, it is, or like a big city, it's quite difficult to go sailing after school and all that kind of stuff. Whereas when you're living around a lake, there's not many other distractions, you know what I mean? There's not, you know, not a lot else to do. So I guess that's why a lot of people go sailing after school and, yeah, maybe that's where it came from.
Yeah. And, I mean, if you don't sail often, your boat will be full of snakes and spiders just for the overseas listeners. So, you know, you've got to sail regularly.
Yeah, no.
And that's why you sail so quick on the lake, dodging the sharks.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, there's plenty of bull sharks and rays, all that
bullies,
sort of stuff.
Yeah, sure.
You don't want to hike too hard up there, do you? Or you want to hike heaps hard to go faster, one of the two.
So talk to us, Lammy. You're on your way home after the Etcher Worlds. You're going to get home. Your dog won't let you in. You'll finally talk dog back into it.
The Land Rover's gone.
The Land Rover's gone. Yep. What do you got to live for right now? What's next?
Maxi World.
Look, I'm going to...
get in bed and stay in bed for a week.
I'm gonna get the dog and I'm gonna go up to my place in Byron and just get the surfboards out. I'll go visit Dad. He's just moved to Yamba, so he's got a place there.
Oh, nice.
Go hang out there. I'm gonna do a little bit of renovations at my mum's house at Byron, a bit of work on my place, and just try and concentrate on some surfing for a while and just chill out a little bit. But yeah, there's plenty of stuff coming up in the pipeline. But at the moment, just want to have a break. I've not stopped since I've spent since December in America sailing nonstop. So I'm ready to have a few weeks off, to be honest. Yeah.
Where are you going to go surfing, mate? Like are you surfing the past with 9 million other people or are you off?
I generally, I generally go down, yeah, the back beaches, the national park, and just get away. And it's not, you know, it's not far to drive, and you can end up surfing by yourself a lot of the days during the week. You know, you're kind of at times looking for people to go surfing with. So
if you got got your dad's got a place in Yamba, and Guri's on the cards now for you, mate.
Yeah, I got to say that's my favourite point break on the whole coast. I love that. That's such a great way. I've got.
I know what you blokes feel like when when I talk about Land Rovers.
Fucking what?
Yeah.
Back to sailing.
How's the Land Rover chat going?
Yeah, good. Hey, Lammy, you've sailed a lot of boats. Like, I've just got a little list here that have just been mentioned during our talk. Sydney 38, MC 38, Far 40, TP 52, and Ichiban, of course. Etchells, J70s. Yep. Did you sail GC 32?
No, I've sailed the.
So you got the M 32 there, AC 45s, 50. Yeah, Maxi 72s.
Yep.
And you would have sailed in some sensational places around the world. This is kind of a loaded question. Anywhere in particular, top the list?
Like Belmont Bay, mate.
Blue Water Classic, come on.
Yeah,
come on. We've done that together, Lammy. Oh,
yeah, exactly. Look, yeah, I mean, like, the Caribbean's pretty cool. Palmer's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Palmer's
good. You know, when you sail, I mean, it sounds biased and boring, but, like, Hamilton Island, that's just such a special waterway. Mm-hmm. Like, when you sail there and then you go all these other places around the world, like, you know, when you go to the Maxi Wells and stuff like that, it's fantastic there as well, and Porto Cervo. But I don't think it's as beautiful and as cool a spot as Hamilton Island, really. You know, we're pretty lucky here in Australia. We're very
we say that about our harbour as well. You know, every day we get out on the harbour is a privilege, except for how busy it is now with the powerboats.
It is. Sydney Harbour is the best harbour in the world that I've sailed on. It's fantastic. We're very lucky.
I guess you just forgot to mention Port Lincoln, but you were just going to say that next anyway.
Look, I didn't want to. I don't want to steal the show with Port Lincoln, but that was the obvious one.
Well, it's good, Lamb.
I'd say it is a good spot.
Well, good talking to you, mate.
Twice now you've done it.
Yeah, sorry.
No, but there's great Land Rover tracks around Port Lincoln as well, boys.
So, that being said, then, so will you be up at Hamo in August?
At this stage. No, but that might change. I think I may have an event in America that might clash with it, but I need to check. Somebody actually asked me that about half an hour ago, and I still haven't looked at my calendar to confirm that. Yeah.
Well, the customs agent in Dallas Airport.
No. There's a couple other sailors here in the lounge.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
I guess it's a good sort of segue. We, you know, we've discussed the Etchells, we've discussed the M32s, we've talked a little bit about the boat you've sailed on. You have done a lot of sailing on Ichiban, for example, and with that program. Yeah. Very successful program, but that must have been a joy to sail with those guys.
Yeah, that was a fantastic program that Matt and Gordon were running, and it was pretty special to be asked to be a part of it. And then, you know, to get to be a bit of a leader as well was really good fun. And all those guys, they just worked so hard, and Matt just gave us all the tools that we needed. You know what I mean? There was no excuse not to be getting results when, you know, if we wanted something and there was a good reason, Matt always gave us the tools to succeed. And, yeah, it was just such a pleasure to sail with that program. You know, I loved it.
It's interesting on the Hobart, because, like, obviously Matt's out now, so you transferred across to the Warrior One, and you guys were looking golden for a while, and then what happened there?
Oh, dude, I keep having nightmares. I just getting over it. We're going pretty good like that. Yeah. We made a little bit of a mistake halfway through the race when we kind of eked out. We got in front of the other 52s, and we made a little bit of a mistake, but then we just ground away. We got back out in front, and then we started just blowing up spinnakers and ran out of spinnakers. I think we sailed the last four hours or so with no spinnaker. We just had nothing left to put up.
And what we call that in Baccarat?
Just broke me.
I can understand it breaking you, mate. But you know what? We're doing that sort of stuff. We call it defendering.
Yeah.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, my defender blew. Yeah, I don't know. Bicey would get upset. But, oh my God. Are you having constant issues with your defender blowing up? Or is it just my car?
We might start calling them the shoots, the TP52 shoots.
Yeah, just got to go to a mechanic and get my A4 redone.
Oh my God. It's such a horrible feeling though when, you know, when you blow up the first, when you go and you're like, okay, well, we've got another one. But then when you know that's, If this thing blows up, we're screwed. That's just, you never forget that your heart just sinks out. You feel sick in the stomach. Yeah. Horrible, horrible deal.
Especially for that program, because I mean, you know, the Warrior One coming from the States, and obviously the other boats that come internationally, that's the big one thing that you just don't expect to happen. You don't expect to be blowing up all of your sails. And that would have been heartbreaking.
Yeah. When we obviously the A4 was probably going to blow up at some point, and we knew that. We had the 6 ready to go, and when we had the 6 up, we're like, okay, this thing's never going to blow up. And it lasted 53 minutes before it blew up, and we thought that we're just going to have that to the corner. But when we had that thing up, we were gone. Like, that boat is designed to go quick in the breeze downwind. When it got over 20 knots, that thing was on rails. It was untouchable. Mm. Very good.
Yeah. Jeez. Anyway.
Yeah. I'm guessing the owner.
It'll be a while to get over that.
I'm guessing the owner looking hard at the sale program again. You know, I wonder what the conversations were. We want to make this thing last. This thing goes fast in windy stuff, so let's make the sales last.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd say there were probably some chat about that. But
if you were motoring a boat though for a full-on Narmoth downwind race, you'd probably put some different sails on it, right? When you've got an IRC race coming up. And you have your sail cards and all your sails built. Yeah, it probably wasn't expected exactly what happened, right? So, but take it on.
Yeah. It's a different. I guess on Ichiban we're always building pretty. Our A4s and stuff are pretty heavy duty A4s. I think they are well above spec from my understanding. So you know you could push a boat pretty damn hard. Because I guess it gets pretty windy down there in a northerly off Tassie is a pretty solid breeze and some solid sea state, you know, when the tide starts to swirl. So anyway, that's a good lesson, and hopefully it never happens again. But I'm sure it will.
Do you think they'll make their way back this way?
No.
Thanks. Okay. Yeah. What about your Land Rover? How's that going?
The Land Rover. Well, I haven't heard from the guy that bought it, which I was like, you know, when you,
I think that's a good thing, Lambie.
Exactly. No, that's what I was a little bit worried about, because you know when I sold it, I made sure it was a bit of get here after. I was like, what time's the sunset? You know, make sure he gets there after dark. Yeah, come and have a look at it now. There was a bit of rain that night. It was good. I haven't heard from you, so you must be stoked with it.
He'll be all right. It was actually a pretty cool one.
Oh, I've put a lot of money and time and effort and blood, sweat and tears into that car, so hopefully he's happy. Yeah.
Hey, look, I guess just really quickly, let's just touch back on to the Etchells, if you don't mind. Is that okay, boys, just quickly? Because you came 15th, huge effort in that fleet. Yeah. We will talk about the overall results a bit later on, but our good friend Will Ryan getting up for a win. How cool is that?
Yeah. Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. I love those guys. Like their whole team, they're just really, really nice people. John, Becky, Victor and Will, you know, I stay at Victor's house all the time, and they're just, all four of those people are just, you know, the nicest people out there, and they just, you know, they sail so well, and they had really good speed, and what I was really impressed was the way they could just sail back through the fleet. Like, they were deep numerous times, and they just chipped away and would just slice through the fleet. It was very impressive. So they deserved it. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
What
was noticeable from the top performers, the top, call it the top five or top three, was anything any outliers, or they're just consistent sailors?
Well, they would probably, just their ability to turn a 25 into, when they're deep on the first beat, into 8 or a 9. essentially. Yep. You know, they'd be patient, live in thin lane, have the ability to live in a thin lane, for example, and just grind away, be patient. You know, they just do that time and time again. And I think that's, you know, those are the things that are kind of win you those big regattas, and they did it really well. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. And, well, apart from, as mentioned earlier, the four-man boat now, I mean, yeah. A couple of us do it here in Oz, right? Well, not us, but a couple, but not many. But when you look through the list, there's, majority. Well, not majority, but be pretty close to
In the US. I mean, for sure. Just having an extra set of hands and extra set of eyes, you know, you can divide the roles up. You know, you can have a full-time jib trimmer, a full-time main trimmer, a full-time tactician and a helmsman. You know, there's no crossover. Not necessarily that they all do it that way. There are a lot of times in the US the tacticians are also trimming the main. So, but regardless, just an extra set of eyes is pretty powerful in that fleet. Like, there's just so much going on. Yeah. So, but, you know, a lot of people in Australia are potentially too big as well. So I think, you know, it'll be interesting, the Perth and the Melbourne worlds, whether how the split sort of goes there. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Was there much discussion? Obviously, we're now post shit fight. Was there much discussion to the Australians about, you know, what's happening and what's going on? Obviously, Perth, we are all allowed to sail, meaning the M11s, but that's to be voted on after that as to how much further we go. Was there any talk about that?
I mean, they're just kind of, there's always chat about the M11s, I guess, but they just kind of want to know how the boats, people have just asked how the boats are going, and it's hard to tell. Like, the boats, you know, we sailed our boat with Mark Roberts at the Victorian States, and still seems like a great boat. Seems like the fleet's more even, was my take on it. Look, it's hard to tell. It's very hard to. So it's still, they all just feel like etchels, you know what I mean? I can't make a call on it, you know what I mean? It's difficult. But yeah, everyone's always asking questions, but
I guess it's more based on, you know, trying to get these internationals to come down to the events in Australia, which is going to be, you know, a big thing for us, but a big thing for everyone, really.
There's going to be a lot of good teams that'll come out, some very strong teams. I believe, from my understanding, a lot of the top teams will come out, so which is a great sign. Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Good answer. Nice.
Cool. Yeah. All right, now we can abandon the actual crap. Lemmy, for the youngsters out there, I love them. Don't misinterpret. For the youngsters out there,
you got to come for sale.
Oh, I've sailed. Yeah, I'll come for sale with you anytime, mate. you know, because you're a normal sized human being. I'm, you know.
Yeah. But, we'll swing it down.
Yeah, but for the youngsters out there, like, do you remember getting your first pro contract? How that negotiation went?
Calibre, Sydney 38.
yeah, it was on Cal. I'd say BP. BP hooked it. BP would have organised it all for me, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, just BP.
Get everything. Just give, don't you? Yeah, just I'm a pathway, pathway person. I see talent, recognise talent, and took it on.
Yeah.
Good times. But yeah, go on, sorry.
Yeah, I guess organising it. I've always kind of just had handshake agreements essentially with pretty much everything, you know. but yeah, I guess it is a difficult thing when you're younger, but I'd say most people are initially probably dealing with a boat captain or someone who's kind of running the team, and you're probably just liaising with that person, sometimes the owner. But I guess when you're younger, though, it's just, you know, you got to find a good balance, because when you're younger, you're just trying to learn and just get the opportunity, more so than trying to make money at that point of your career, I think is important.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? Like, it's a difficult life. Like you said, you know, you're always jet lagged, you're always tired, and you've got to make lots of relationships, and it's connections, isn't it? I would suggest that the ability to connect to the owners, that's the thing, and reputation.
Yeah. There's a lot of moving parts, and you obviously need to get results as well. It's But there's, yeah, the main thing is you just got to be having a good time out of, on and off the water. And but yeah, it's funny, like the more events you're at, the more kind of work you're going to get because you're in people's face, and you know what I mean. You'll see people after sailing, and it's if you're only sailing in Australia, it's very difficult to be getting work in America. But if you're over at an event and people just are like, oh my god, you're here, blah blah blah, do you want to do this?
Yeah,
it's so that's probably why I try and make an effort to be over there a bit more, just so because if you're out of sight, you're out of mind.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. You know, if you hadn't been a pro sailor, mate, what would you have done as a job?
I work as an electrician.
There you go.
And I was a terrible electrician. Oh my god, I work in mines. I was no good at it. Oh my god.
God,
yeah, I was just walking around kicking stones the whole time. Yeah,
you're a nicko, mate. Well, you got bloody
yeah.
You lost your tool bag as well, didn't you?
Yeah. I was no good at that. It kind of just forced me into sailing because I was a terrible electrician. Yeah, just made me go back to sailing. Yeah, which is fine. It's a good thing.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of the stuff. You know, as one of the top pros in the world, let's look at some of the existing.
I don't know about that. But...
All right. Well, you know. As one of the top Land Rover Defender drivers in the world.
Yeah, here we go.
What about existing events? So, like, which events call to you more? Like, are you more into Sail GP? Are you into the Cup? Match racing circuit? Which ones are the ones that that you sort of are most passionate about? Or is it the wing dinghy circuit?
in regards to watching?
Yeah,
or,
yeah. Like,
or competing in?
Well, you'd want to be in at the moment. Say, I mean, I know you did the Cup in, well, it was Bermuda, wasn't it? You were in Bermuda, I think.
Yeah,
35th
Bermuda.
One. Yeah. Like,
I think for me, I've been, thinking about a lot more lately. I want to try and start focusing more on the one design and getting back into just doing as much big fleet one design sailing, so Etrels and J70s, because they go pretty hand in hand.
Yeah,
I've been doing a lot of sailing 10 different classes type scenario, and I think I just want to go back to just trying to really knuckle down on the big fleet stuff because it's the hardest and it does my head in, and I just want to keep chipping away. And you know, it's an easy thing to give up on and just go and sail 10 boat fleets where it's a little bit easier and you can sail like a bigger boat and get away with making a few more mistakes, but I really want to try and knuckle down on some Etchels and J70s and just concentrate on that, you know, for maybe the next 5 years or so.
Yeah,
what I've got in my head. Yeah.
Yeah. It keeps.
Do you have a desire for some long offshore stuff, Lammy?
Look, yeah, sort of. Like, if it was, I like the idea of going offshore on like a catamaran or a trimaran. Like, I always look at that and go, oh my god, I'd love to go around the world and do that.
Yeah,
but I guess I'm obviously not hungry enough because I'm not chasing it. I'm just kind of pretty happy doing what I'm doing. But you know what I mean? If someone asked me to go around the world on something, you know, on a cat or a tri, I would jump at it because it looks like a pretty cool way to go around the world.
Yeah. Be careful what you say. You are on Barkerati.
Yeah.
You end up teaching sailing on the lake. So.
yeah.
Career path.
Or an electrician, one of the two.
Yeah.
From all the youth stuff you did, Lammy, I know we spoke about lasers earlier, but what was the actual when you first got competitive and you first had that hunger to actually go out and win as opposed to going for a cruise on dad's boat? When did that kind of, was there like the bell just rung or it was just a kind of natural progression?
Yeah, something clicked in the laser.
Yep.
Probably around 16 or something. I just started wanting to be competitive with it. And then the one thing that was the goal was the youth worlds. And just, you know, I saw that people, you know, there was this thing called the youth worlds and you could, you know, try and qualify for that. So it was a few years in the kind of making, but it was such a good goal for me to sort of aim for. So, that was a really cool thing for me, just to like knuckle down and try and qualify for that, because it was difficult just even qualifying really in Australia. But yeah, so that was my first taste of being competitive for sure.
Yeah, right. Do you have any thoughts towards the current youth world strategy with Australian sailing? In the sense that they want to send more concentrate on the big fleet racing as opposed to sending people to youth worlds?
Right. Okay. Is that – that's a policy, is it? Okay. Yeah, didn't even know. Yeah. What do I think about that? So they're not sending youth to the youth worlds. Wow. Okay. No. Damn. Yeah. I don't –
That's obviously how you feel about it.
There you go. That's how you feel about it.
Yeah, because I felt like for me that was
the turning point.
Such a good thing to aim for. Yeah, exactly. And it gives you a taste of trying to qualify for something, being competitive, and then, you know, it's also like you're dealing with not qualifying and going through all that process. So, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to think about that a little bit more, but initially I don't know if I love it, but yeah.
Calling Ben Lamb. This is your last call.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, that's interesting. Oh, yeah.
Cool. All right, Lamy. I think I sort of sense that we're coming to the end of our time, so we might let you bolt so you can get the good seat and get your bag in the overhead locker. But do you know what you're doing next? From a sailing perspective, have you got anything that you're focused in on?
Yeah. The next event will be Etchells on the Gold Coast.
A little bit, yeah.
There's an Etchells. Oh, there's actually one a couple
the
of
Gold
weeks
Coast Regatta.
The Gold Coast Regatta, which I believe a lot of people are going to do as a bit of a warm up for the Mooloolaba event. So
yeah,
that's the next one. I'm actually excited for it. That'll be cool. So it must be going to sail offshore. It'll be near my place in Byron. So I'm actually looking forward to a bit of winter sailing up on the Gold Coast. It'll be pretty nice, I reckon.
And of course, being the current Victorian state champions.
Just
throw that in the middle of everything you've been doing.
I'm looking forward to getting back out of the boat with those with the boys. So
excellent, mate.
Cool,
mate. Well, best of luck with that, Lamy. And
thank you.
Be seeing you in the soup at some point in time. Always good to catch up.
Exactly. Yeah,
being I know I've told you boys this, but Lamy put me onto this podcast, World Sport, a couple of years back. Every now and then when something comes on and I laugh and I'm like, I bet Lamy's on a plane right now listening to the same thing, having a bit of a chuckle.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I love that Hello Sport podcast. Yeah. It really helps me with not getting homesick at times. Like, you know, I just put it on and I've even got my crewmate for the last, just to the world's is Richard Clark.
Yeah.
And I've even got him. He loves it. He cracks up at it. It's pretty cool. Anyway, you should have a bit of home when you're away.
That's cool. Nice. Cool. All right, mate.
Nice one, boys. Well,
love it.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for putting up with me in the lounge with everything that's going on around me. But I'll get on the plane and get some sleep now.
Yeah, quick Budweiser before you hit the into 38F.
Get a Bud Light.
Yeah.
All right, mate. Good on you.
Nice, see, boys.
On your way, buddy. Have a good travel. I'll catch up with you when you get home. Cheers.
Beautiful. All right. See you, boys.
Bye. Yeah, look, it is true. Young Lamy, when he was 18 years old, came on as a tactician for us on the Sydney 38. And it was actually really cool because he was still in laser mindset, in that when he wanted to tack, he wanted to tack. Except he forgot he had seven people to make tack.
Move across the boat, yeah.
So one of the funniest parts about having Lamy come on board was his talent was unbelievable. One of the funniest parts was, Lamy, you got to remind seven people they've got to get off the rail, they've got to set up, and they've got to tack. So it was a cool progression, if you like. And it was, for me, I mean, I I've sailed a lot with him over the years, and he is an absolute brutal natural talent, and he's a brilliant sailor.
Oh, hear, hear. And one of the best blokes on land as well.
Yeah,
have a beer with, have a chat too.
Just and we'll help anyone. We'll help anyone.
Talk about the toys, of course, and have good
Land
banter.
Rovers.
Yeah, yeah. So, nah, absolute legend. And you know, pretty proud to call him mate. To tell you the honest truth,
absolutely. No, I'd say the same. I'd say the same. Yeah, and nice. He's always there. If you've got a question, and this goes for the general world. I mean, if you see Lammy in the park, he will answer your question. Feel free to go up to him and ask him and say that BP from Barcarat, he said, get up and ask you.
Or say, are you Jordan Spencer's younger brother?
You've got a really big head.
You got it.
He does have, actually does have quite a big
head. Bit of a tinge of the ginge.
His ginge and has a large head.
Sounds like a bloody good looking bloke.
Yeah, legend.
Absolute legend. And we love him and we're very, very proud of him. And obviously we love to hear his exploits into the future because he's got some on over the next few years.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's go into other news. Club events. I just thought I'd mention Antigua Sailing Week starts this week, coming up. The 29th.
Antigua Sailing Week.
What are you going to say?
Antigua.
Are you just doing your sort of accent again? Well,
that little Frenchism you're adding to it.
There's multiple ways of saying this because, you know, I love the etymology of words and how words are pronounced. So we could actually look at it at Antigua.
I love Antigua. The Antigua Race Week is on.
Yeah. That's this week. So Antigua. Anyway. 29 April to 5 May. It's a big one, you know. It's kind of like for Aussies listening, it's probably like Hamo a bit, you know, like everyone's there, everyone turns up. Good event, lots of fun to be had. It's probably one of the bigger events. So if you're interested, have a look, see what goes on. But there'll be plenty of boats enjoying some sunshine and a bit of sailing. It sounds like a similar theme to Hamo.
Which got a big plug today.
Indeed it did. Cool. Any other events you guys got?
Well, can I just say one thing? I don't think it's got to do with club events, but I do have a question. We did speak to one David Snow during the week, Bicey.
Yeah.
In relation to your weekend Newcastle and
Sailfest. Yes.
Apparently, he mentioned that you had a bowman go overboard.
Yes, we put him in.
Was that near the fisherman?
Yeah, near the fisherman. Said, just take this fella for us, will you? No, well, for those that kind of do these Windward Lord races, you get this. You've got the spreader mark at the top and you've got the gate at the bottom. And I would consider the bow team that we had is probably one of
pretty
the best
awesome.
I've
Absolutely.
Ever sailed with.
Looking at the pictures,
And they're always thinking about where they are, what side of the sails they're on. And it was just a bit of a late jibe coming in once the jib was up. Unfortunately, young Davin was on the wrong side of the jib and he thought he'd go for a little swim.
A bit of a flick.
Yeah, and straight up in the air. I think it was a triple somersault in the half pipe position. But he executed beautifully.
Did you have your cards?
Oh, yeah. No, we're at 4.8 for sure. Absolutely.
At all.
No, it's only out of five.
Oh, it's out of five.
Due to the difficulty.
I've just got this vision of him jumping up, touching his toes, pointed.
But what I didn't see any of it, to tell you the honest truth. But what was super impressive, by the time we called man overboard, by the time we tacked around to do a little loop around, he was already in one of the race committee ribs.
I did hear that.
They considered it as a bit of a, from a safety issue, get him out of the water ASAP.
Absolutely.
And I must admit, from our boat, we were a little dubious as to what the rules were in regards to should we retire. So we actually did go to retire from that particular race, but the race committee said no, it's a safety issue, so it's not deemed as outside assistance.
Did he get back on board or not?
Yeah, he got back on board. Okay. So, but it wasn't deemed as outside assistance because it was a safety issue, which makes sense. I mean, we were in a leading position at the time, but, you know, got a fifth in that race, so it's not as though it helped us either.
It's just one of those stories that's
fortunately it was 12 knots and it wasn't 22 knots.
Yeah, yeah.
When it is a full NAM off. So but happens easily, man.
It just does go to show, doesn't it? I mean, it was just a conversation I had with one David Snow the other day. Yeah. And it's one of those things. These boats now are so powerful and so precise, you just gotta be on your ball, don't you?
Well, not only on the ball from a sailing point of view, but if a dive comes into it, you might as well tuck yourself in and
do go for
triple,
the toes.
Triple somersault. Yeah.
Yep. Go for the toes.
So, well done, Dav.
Well done, Dav.
4.8.
All right. Jack Lloyd, listener of the week, boys. Have you guys got any nominations? Because I want to bring up Jeffrey Cooper.
No, I love this. Oh, this is fantastic.
Have you seen this, boys?
Coops. He's in. Yep.
Yeah. Jeffo.
Okay. Do you want to read it, or should I go through the details?
I think you should.
You do it, mate. You're the. All right.
So this continues this episode of the Stitch Up because, you know, I've had to put up with the Land Rover Defender talk, and now complete Stitch Up. Jeffrey Cooper writes in a 3.6 meter rainbow sailing boat for sale. He sent us a listing.
It's for sale.
Of a little rainbow for sale listed 2 weeks ago in Canberra, ACT. He's asking $0 2 weeks ago. So it's been stored in the garage for years. Might make a good resto project. And
gents, I've got some good news.
You bought it.
You know, well, I would love to spend all the hard-earned dimes that we do earn in this podcast. Yeah. As it turns out, $0 fits within the budget.
Yeah.
The good part about it is it doesn't come with a sale, so you have to buy a sale so it goes negative, a bit like us.
I wrote a reply to young Coops. I don't know if you boys have caught on to that, but I replied to his message. I wrote, burn it, sign not bicey.
I reckon we should get a Bacharati.
Sacrificial burning.
We should get a Bacharati rainbow. I think it'd be great.
We also got a note from Jordan Commons. Jordan Commons, and young the Jordmeister. He sent in a list of team.
Como.
Yeah, Jordo. Sorry for the coughing. Sent in a list of Far 40 crew positions they had based on the Etchell one we mentioned last week. And there's some good ones in there. A couple of people nominated themselves as their role as in the way. Pip, there's someone that's chief. There's the Cat 3 cooler jockey again. Stunt owner, so probably a bowman. Leeward runner and pro bowler. So, yeah, that team.
Pro bowler. I love the pro bowler.
They're in.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're in the whole time. So they loved getting the mention, and they just came in with their Far 40 role. So
great work, Jordan.
Great work, Jordan. Oh, thanks. No, oh, mate, not me.
No, Como.
No, you're next.
you're Spenno.
Yeah, so our third nominee is Jordan Spencer. I love Spencer.
This. One Jordan Spencer.
Does somebody want to read it out?
From the body of the same name?
No, I'll take this on. The Scullet.
Yes.
The Scullet is for those who are frontal, how do you say, depreciated? Who have hair at the front of their head, which not quite isn't there, and then the rest of the hair is at the
just
back.
Do an example for the YouTube viewers. Anyway, too much time with the windscreen now.
Yeah, they don't have a forehead. They have a five head.
Yeah, five head. So Jordan Spencer wrote in and said, the Scullet, too much hair and not enough at the same time. Now the picture is basically a bald head, bald nut at the front with a massive mullet at the back. It's a beauty.
Yeah, we love the Scullet.
In our constant look for the mullets, that we came up with a Scullet. So, yeah. So,
well done, Jordan. Actually, I'm going to give Jordan Spencer the
merch
prize.
Pack. Merch pack this week. You may.
It looks like you've already got it.
I love it. Yeah, I've already got my shirt. I love it. Cool.
You idiots.
Cool.
Olé, well done.
Olé, it's hot time with Bice.
Rightio, gents. I've been known to hand the baton over a couple of times. Mm. on this. And what I want to do before I start talking about the cheats within the United States Opti team. Actually, let's talk about this for starters.
No, we're going back.
I came across this. I think the title I came across are the US cheats. That was the tagline.
Mm.
And I believe what happened at the recent Opti rig gathering in South America.
Yeah, the South American one. Yep,
that someone got caught polishing their boat.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah. Well, clearly not allowed to polish your boat.
Once and changing, she's
in the boatyard.
What else they do?
That once she's in the boatyard. Let's get that clear.
Yeah.
I must admit, I read it and I'm like, what the hell am I reading?
And the rubber stoppers for the centerboard.
This is absolutely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So, got caught polishing the boat once it had kind of got through scrutinizing.
Yep.
Is that correct? That is correct. Yep. Which no, you're not allowed to do anything after that. I mean, the old holder used to get the spray of Mr. Sheen now and then, but oh, she slid straight off the chocks, mate. Let me tell you.
Couldn't hold on the trailer on the way to the club.
I thought it was quite ridiculous, this what I was reading, but it's pretty clear, and it's been pretty clear in the
you can't speed shop your opties.
It's been pretty clear.
Seppos, hey.
In the rules for quite some time.
Yeah.
That you're not allowed to do this. And there was a whole bunch of stuff that went on.
Yeah, it wasn't just one boat. They had a whole production line of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was obviously well thought out. It wasn't just the old man got pissed and forgot to polish the daughter's boat before she went sailing. It was a full production line. Yeah, US sailing team.
She's careful.
Yeah, so I'm not sure where that – well, what it ended up with, 3 disqualifications?
Using the World Sailing Discretionary Penalty Guide, a penalty of disqualification was decided for the most serious breach, which was that of Sailing Instruction 5.4, and the second sentence of Notice of Race 9.12, the penalty applied to Race 1. So I think 1 DSQ.
Disqualified from Race 1.
Anyway.
Yeah, so –
they start them young.
Oh, mate, how about these poor kids, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Just going to an event and have fun with their mates.
I went and saw some Opti stuff in Vila Moura in Portugal and went and visited the Aussie team and just tried creating a bit of banter with the parents and the kids and all that sort of stuff. And Jesus.
It was serious.
Mate, it was serious, all right?
The parents are more serious than the kids, right?
Holy shit. Yeah, crazy. Not to mention the chase boats that are around. Pretty serious stuff. But how about these poor kids who got disqualified? They probably had no idea what on earth was going on at all. So don't be dismayed, young fellas.
Yes, we want to let's take our little bit here and say, kids, go sailing and enjoy it.
Get
back out there, take it on.
Thanks, Dad.
Your talent will prevail.
Absolutely. Now, BP.
Stuff your dad.
I'm handing over to you at this point in time, my friend. Big news in Australia, of course, this week. With Australia is going to be in the America's Cup.
Well, we did get an email during
the American week.
American Cup.
Yep.
We got an email during the week, and it was impressive. It was like, you know, Bart Karate's been invited to this thing, so I'll go down there. And we did respond, and off I go. I trundled down to Mrs. McCrory's chair, which is a beautiful vantage point, which is overlooking the Sydney Opera House and the Harbour Bridge, with the great man himself, John Bertrand, and Nina Curtis was there, and another Bart Karate and himself, John Winning Jr., releasing the official news that the women's and the youth team have accepted into the AC40s for the America's Cup Women's and Youth event in Barcelona.
Awesome.
Now, it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. The vibe, there wasn't a lot of people there, but the people that were there were the right
influential
people. Yeah, it was me.
One, Brett Perry. Bar Karate. This well-established media outlet within the sailing industry.
And the coach was there. Yeah, the coach. Oh, yeah. And yeah. And some other guy. But that's about it. But seriously speaking, no. It was packed with notorieties and sponsors. It was really exciting. And look, it's super exciting for Australia.
So tell us about it. So we've got the women competing.
Women
we've
got are
the
in.
Youth so, competing.
So women and youth, the women and the youth are in. There was, I don't know the 100% behind it, but there was 12 teams allocated.
Yeah, I can tell you if you want.
The Australians speak Portuguese. I don't know, there's a couple other teams.
I can tell anyway, if you want.
Okay, go on.
So Australia, Sweden, Germany, Canada, Netherlands, Spain, New Zealand, United Kingdom, Switzerland, Italy, USA, and France.
Yeah. There you go.
Awesome.
It's good. Super exciting. Now, you know, we just love – and Nina Curtis, I mean, fellow Barcaradian. Nina Curtis has put a lot into this. And Olivia Price, obviously, who wasn't there, I did mention in a Facebook post. She was there in spirit, and she's off doing the 49ers with Eva Hazeldine. But it's huge for Australia. I mean, it's just huge. We're so excited.
What about
so
the
reading
other
between
bit?
The lines, yeah. BP? Mm-hmm. Yes, women. Yes, youth.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. What's John Winning Jr. doing there? Is he actually going to mount an Australian challenge for the next America's Cup?
The question,
just give us a simple yes or no.
The question came up. The question did come up.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is a big thing, Bicey. This is not a game. And John Winning Jr.'s words were, for the girls and the youth team, we're here to win. We're not here to make up the numbers. So his primary focus and John Bertrand and the entire team is based on the girls and the youth winning the America's Cup. Where that goes from there, it's based on building, it's based on growing, it's based on creating a new culture, if you like, in Australian sailing.
Mm.
Because if you look at Australian sailing over the last, you know, 30, 40 years, since John Bertrand won the America's Cup, and then obviously the defence in 1987, all of us have gone and done America's Cup, or most of us Australians have gone and done America's Cup, whether it be sailing or in the shore, in global teams, because we haven't had an Australian team.
Mm.
And this is the difference. This is a nucleus of culture.
I like it.
The word like culture it. Is the key here.
All this stuff then. No culture.
No, we're all over it. And I think this is the start of something special. So let's ride it.
Yeah. So
from a commercial point of view, we haven't spoken to the winning group, but basically everyone out there, go and buy as many microwaves and fridges and shit as you can.
Look, the more
and to make sure Australia get on the start line.
That's right. This is not a paid advertisement. If you need a microwave, go straight to John Winning. No, look, seriously speaking, it was exciting. John Bertrand is super excited. He's going to be in it 100%. John Winning Jr. is going to put everything into it. He said he doesn't want to be there just to make up the numbers. It's a winning program, and that's not a pun. That's it.
Yeah. Wow. Big news.
I like it.
It is cool. Like this, as this cup gets closer, you know, we're in these AC40s, which, you know, I'm obviously a big fan of. All those nations, you know, great to see the Germans and the Canadians. You know, we spoke to our Canadian team.
Our favourite friends, the Canadians.
Yeah, the Canadians, the Swedes. Canadians. Italy. Oh, man, it's just going to be great.
Italians. Oh, love the Italians.
Oh, Italia. Anyway, so Cup, it's good. It's good to see.
Spanish, they're all there.
This is going to be fun. So, anyway, best of luck to all the competitors. And, go from there. Cool. Anything more, Mr. Bice?
Absolutely. The Ocean Race, she's kicking off. By the time people listen to this, they actually might have delayed their early listening session to actually watch live the start from Itajaí, of which everyone is back on the tools, back on the water, about to start heading north up to Newport, which is, you know, possibly one of the home of yachting in the USA, one would say.
Yep.
So absolutely. A fantastic leg coming up. And let's see these boys and girls just get us through another couple of weeks of just being glued to each other. Let's see.
Literally.
Yeah. It's not far away to the start because it starts 1:15 Brazil time as we record now.
About 4 hours.
7 hours, 11 minutes, 27 seconds. 25 seconds.
Just off the top of my head. 21. 19.
Going to be cool. Like, cool place to sail from. And I mean, a little bit tricky for the first 4 or 5 days.
It's going to be hard.
Then trade wind sailing. Mm. Just beautiful champagne.
Those first few days are really going to. It's going to be crazy because
a bit tough. Yeah,
definitely going upwind. It is going to be very difficult, and you know, once you get out and go, you're going to be good. But the first up into the trade winds will win. It's what we agreed with Mr. Simon Fisher. Where are we? So after 3 legs, Team Wholesome leads on 19 points. Militia on 14. 11th Hour on 13. Biotherm on 10. And Geo Environment on 2. Let's go, Geo. Give him a...
Yeah, let's see him. Let's get behind him. Let's get behind him. I mean, just to be there, how cool is it?
Oh, yeah, it's all good. It is all good. So, anyway.
We love you.
Go on.
Geo, we love you. That's it. Okay. We all are supporting you.
Righto. But, yeah, and we're loving the race. What? Anyone watch the import? Did you guys watch the import?
Nate Toro, Perfavore.
No.
You'll have to update me on that one.
Well, they raced
in that. I was too busy in the golf, mate. Just watching the golf swings. Mm. Yeah.
Geez, you're excited about your golf, aren't you?
It was interesting. Oh, yeah. Because, you know, they're doing that square thing. And
the what?
Poor man's Jordan
Poor man's
Barcarati.
Poor man Jordan Barcarati.
They took all the good bits and threw it away and then put that. Anyway. So they did the start, and it was quite interesting because it was 11th Hour won quite convincingly.
Did they get points for that?
Did they? Yeah. It's only used tie break. Yeah, so 11th Hour leading. But so it was interesting because Team Militia and 11th Hour both had the same tactic for the start. And Militia missed.
Get out in front and increase your lead.
Kick to the top mark first and extend.
Go for the pin and hit the pin with speed, which 11th Hour did, and then started to climb up and lock out the boats above. So they had to nail the start. And Militia missed it, and they were last by a long way. But they just came through and kept coming and coming in, and you know, everyone's soldier.
Militia.
Militia ended up coming second overall.
She's a quick. She's a quick
bite. So I'll give you this one, gents. We're halfway through the race.
Yep.
From a mileage point of view, there's probably a whole bunch more points on the
agenda
about to be accumulated. Where are you standing with your original predictions?
I'd like to stand up here. I did say Militia, and I did say Militia in this leg. So do I get 2 bonus points for that?
Yep.
Yep, perfect. So, and I think Wholesome are probably the favourites to win the regatta. From here, as you go further north, you're going to have light and variables. We know that Militia struggles in that. So probably 11th Hour might gain a couple of points. And hopefully across the top of the Atlantic, it gets heavy again and Militia can, you know, pull back. But we'll see what happens. That's the way I see this is these boats are very suited to conditions. We've already discussed that. And I think it comes into play big time. I think Wholesome is the all round boat. That's how I feel.
Interesting. Oh, well, we'll wait and see. You're going to make
Where are you? Where are you at?
Oh, Jay? I was just waiting for Bicey to make a prediction.
Ooh. I still like Wholesome for sure. Wholesome PRB. I think they got a well-rounded boat, as you've mentioned, BP. So they're going to be hard to beat. I get the feeling Militia is going to take a bit of a leap. They've got a good vibe going on. They've got a good
culture.
Talking about culture.
Culture.
Exactly.
Culture.
They've got a good culture. Apparently they don't even email. They just Snapchat. They just WhatsApp.
Well, we WhatsApp.
Kids we, these days, I'll tell you. Kids.
Crazy. We do have to apologise, don't we, Jay, to Rosalind, because we had a little technical issue. We did WhatsApp with her as she was going around Nemo. We have chatted with her about this. It was a little bit of a technical issue that came up in our, because that's how we are. But WhatsApping, that's where it's all at, isn't it?
Mm. Oh, well, cool. All right, well, best of luck to everyone competing, because I think it'll be great fun. Be good watching, though. Gets real interesting. Anything else?
No, that's okay. It for me.
All right, I want to throw out a couple of things. BP, you want to throw anything up, bud?
No.
Okay. No problems at all. I do want to I'm just trying to find
results.
Chris Paul won the Congressional Cup.
Wasn't he the drummer in Kiss?
Yeah, no. And he beat Jet Bosch in the final.
Yes.
Good mixed crew on Chris's team, but yeah, that was good actually. I watched a bit of it. It was good to see some traditional.
In the Catalina 37.
Hang on a second, Congressional Malcolm Parker was on board.
Yep,
for that the guy from Tasmania.
Yeah. As I said, a full mixed team.
He's not like David Boone, but
the 5 foot two Tasmanian with the flared pants.
Mal Parker. No, we love Mal. We should get Mal on the show, actually. He's a beauty.
One of the great traditions in yachting, Congressional Cup, and they get the jacket, similar to the green jacket in golf.
You love your golf.
I forget the colour, but it's quite a good tradition that goes on. And the Congressional Cup, whether it happens these days or not, but such a good regatta to go to, and every team gets billeted out almost to different families that look after you. And you'll get it like a boat mum who kind of looks after you. It's sensational hospitality, good place to sail when it's not foggy, when there's little bit of wind as opposed to no wind, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, cool place. And then head over for the, what do they call it? The Catalina Seltzer? Catalina.
Mixer or something.
Mixer?
I reckon we'll give Mal a call and we'll get him on the show because he's a beauty.
Oh, on the boat also was our mate Bernardo Fritas, our good friend, and who's also been on Baccarati.
Oh, Fruit Sandwich.
Yeah. And I think they went through, Paulie's team went through undefeated, didn't lose a race. So,
Chris Paul, the drummer from Kiss.
Yeah, that's right. So that's quite an outstanding performance. So congratulations. The other thing I did want to bring up is, are there going to be complaints after the Etchell Worlds around two things? First off, if you look at, is it the top 15? If you look at the top 10, seven of the top 10 boats were US boats. If you look at the top 15, I think it's about 12 of the top 15 boats. Does that mean that the US have they been cheating?
Well, I would say, let me put this in the right context. Worlds next year in Fremantle.
It might be a lot of Australians.
Top 13 of the 15 will be Aussies.
Yeah.
Problem with the Etchells, they don't get to travel, do they? It is a bummer. But the
genuine one.
Yeah. Yep. Go on.
Beep. Absolutely stoked for everyone that was involved in these worlds.
Yeah.
And we are, as Australians, inviting everyone to get down here and get amongst it because, it's been a tough couple of years in the Etchells. We know that. And I think it's about time we.
You know, one thing we will talk about, not on this particular episode, but for the future, I saw some bit of correspondence about how trying to bring the Corinthian side of Etchell sailing back, which is something we had spoken about a little bit in the past. And I'm going to do a bit more research into that, gent. So I'll get back to you on that one.
Okay. I want to bring up there is one really obvious point. In that top 15, 11 boats were for crew, people in the crew. I'm devastated, right? Like, I make all these jokes about the Etchells, right, and stuff, but it was a class where decent-sized human beings had it. You could go sailing.
Average weight, 95 kilo, right?
Yeah.
It's happening. What you're saying, it's happening.
It's normal-sized human being.
It's over. We might as well just sit on the couch and tell everyone how good we are. Or
just do podcasts.
Yeah, that's right. There's nothing left. There's nothing left for the big guy. So, the Etchells have been lost.
You know something else almost along these lines that I'd like to talk about? Mm-hmm. The weigh-ins. So I saw there was a mid-regatta weigh-in.
Oh, geez, even worse.
Even worse. It's turning the class upside down.
Yeah.
In the sense that, like, we all respect the weigh-in. You all have to weigh in. And let's face it, generally, you've got to do a dip, majority of boats.
Yep.
Then to have a mid-regatta weigh-in, which compromises the social side
of the
actual regatta.
It makes it unhealthy for the average human being.
I'm calling it now, ban four people. Ban it.
You know, they should rate some single. No, you can't. You know, three is a perfect number for a boat. You know, like it is really perfect number for a boat.
Can I just hand out congratulations to the winners negative. For Veracity?
Yeah, we'll go on next.
I'll leave you with that. On you go.
No, it's important because the winners were John Somme, Victor Diaz de Leon, Will Ryan, who we all know and love, been on Bark Radio, and Becky Anderson. Now, it's important to discuss that because that was Yeah, it was their first. It was the first Worlds for John, the skipper. Victor has won a few, I think, J70 Worlds.
What a massive, massive thing.
Yeah, so he's been in the class 4 years.
But what a crew.
So Victor is a true legend. Will Ryan, true legend. And I don't know Becky. So Becky, I'm assuming, is a true legend as well, but I can't quote any of her major wins off the top of my head.
Maybe we should get her on the show.
Yeah. Maybe. Why not? I'd love to. But anyway, it was a great performance. And in that last, you know, they had the coaches' regatta where they had very consistent results. And as you guys, if you've looked at the results, there was a lot of up and down right through the fleet. But these guys had nice, consistent results. And then going into the last day, they had the power.
Stephen Benjamin was leading.
Yep, they had the power. So tons of steel. They just sailed them right to the back of the fleet. And because they could do that, so as you said, Stephen Benjamin, Mike Buckley.
Legend of Etchell sailing.
Dave Hughes. So they used that consistency to give them the opportunity just to cover them and sail them back through the fleet and win the Worlds because of that.
But the key to this whole race was they got a penalty on them. They got a penalty on Steve Benji and disqualified him. That's how it ended up.
But, I mean, the key to the whole race was having a nice, consistent regatta, kids.
For sure. But the fact is that they went into battle. They knew who their competition was. They went into battle and they ended up in a situation that ended up as it did. Mm. Now, we don't go out there to disqualify people, but if the rules are broken, the rules are broken.
Mm.
And that's how it was seen. So, you know, it's a... You know, you look at these events. It's not sheep stations, and it's not the end of the world. But to win a regatta when focused on your rival in this way, you don't go out there to disqualify them, but you go out there to tackle them, and that's what happened. You look at great events like 2000 Olympics with Ben Ainslie and come on, help me out here,
Robert Scheidt.
You know, he didn't go out there to disqualify him. He went out there just to beat him. And that's what this sport's so cool. I love about it.
So
yeah, it's called Yacht Racing, Max.
Okay. So you know what I'm interested in? I went through, Max, the names. Did we have any sort of winning names?
Yep, Malcolm Page. I want to congratulate Mark Thornborough and Malcolm Page also in the top 10.
Right.
So we've got, if you look at the Will Ryan, gold medalist Australia, number one, gold medalist Australia, Malcolm Page, I think they came eighth or ninth.
Sixth.
Oh, even better. Good.
Yep. Good work. Go on.
I mean, to come fourth, fifth, sixth, even Lammy coming 15th in that fleet,
It's pretty cool. And Bicey, you'll conjecture this how tough that fleet is.
Oh, hear, hear. But enough about them.
Yeah,
moving about on. Us.
Are we done?
I was just going to say that there's no big winner on the name front except Jay Cross. He had the skanky gene. The skanky gene, which I thought, you know, that was a bit of fun. But
I saw JC and the boys, TBA. Obviously, they didn't get time to think of a name on the way over.
Yeah, no. So, anyway.
Struggled, I might add.
World's back in Australia and will be interesting to see. But one of the big events, there's plenty coming up, as we said. So, I think that's it. I think we've crapped on enough. I think
absolutely.
BP got on the high horse this weekend. So he's the winner for this week.
Yes. Now, to all our Kiwi and Aussie mates, Anzac Day coming up.
Oh, so, yep, absolutely. Good point.
Just, little tip of the hat for everyone who just goes for a yacht. Next time you go for a yacht, just tip of the hat. And thanks to our diggers that helped us out. Yep. So, bravo.
All right, boys. Good work.
All right, I'll just get my guitar. Right. Hang on.
No, just get your bugle and play the last part. Oh.
Bit of infinity on the bugle.
Go on. Good work, man.
Cheers, mate.
Have a good work. Listeners, love your work.
Yeah, you're awesome.